Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
It is Tuesday, the 24th day of May, 2011. We're going to be live here for the next 3 hours. Webster Griffin Tarpley joins us coming up in the second hour today. He's going to be breaking down his detailed report yesterday posted at Infowars.com. U.S. and Pakistan near open war. And that is not an overstatement. That is an accurate, factual, moderate statement. That is exactly what is unfolding, and it's part of a larger strategic plan. Tarpley, 6 months before all of this began to unfold, broke down that this was the next piece that they wanted to move on the grand chessboard. So Tarpley will be joining us with his detailed report, U.S.-Pakistan near open war, and what that will mean for the people of this planet and the people of the United States. Dr. Jerome Corsi will be joining us. Of course, he's the guy that Swift voted John Kerry, for those that don't know who he is. And he has been breaking a lot of important news and information dealing with the whole birth certificate and the cover-up of what's happening with that. Corsi has now come out, and this is up on PrisonPlanet.com and Infowars.com, Corsi to file criminal charges against White House over Obama birth certificate. And he's also sent me some other internal documents that he's going to be releasing here in the next few days. He sent us those ahead of time so that we can go over those ahead of his interview today, joining us in the third hour. We've not been big birther advocates in the last 3 years, but more and more, as we see evidence of a cover-up, we've been forced to cover it. And I know that there's a birth announcement in Hawaii that his grandparents put in there. And people say, well, that's the total proof. Well, that's standard if you're trying, to get a baby that's born out of the country that you want to have American citizenship and all the value that went with that, especially in 1961, to put the birth announcement in the paper, because then that can be used as evidence later to get the birth certificate. It's also being confirmed by private investigators and credit report experts. And I looked into this myself last night. WorldNet Daily's reporting on it today, that Obama has a Connecticut Social Security number, and that's not how it works. You get it issued regionally and then associated with the time and date of the issuance of the Social Security number. And it's beginning to link back to some of his family. So there's a reason all of his records have been so sealed. Remember, 2 years ago, it was a conspiracy theory to say his name was Barry Sotero. And now the mainstream media is like, oh, yeah, it was Barry Sotero. He did change his name. Oh, he was never a Muslim. Oh, but it does say that in the one school record we've got from Indonesia. So the point is they're always changing their story. And then Abercrombie, the governor, goes to the Bureau of Vital Statistics in Hawaii and comes out and says, I couldn't find it. And then magically it appears. And then I go, okay, born in Hawaii, let's move on to real issues. And then we look at the thing and it looks like a Photoshop novice made it. I mean, there are areas that are clear high res and then areas where you can see changes have been made, where it's high res, and then areas beside it, low res. I mean, it's been messed with. It's been messed with. And so people are like, well, why even cover it? Well, why go after Nixon for lying about Watergate? Because he's lying. Something's going on. They're hiding something. They spent $2 million over almost 3 years blocking the release of this long form. They said the long form didn't exist. They've been lying. They're hiding something. That's why we've been covering it. I got a bunch of other news coming up. Stay with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk.
Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Right now, Benjamin Netanyahu is addressing the Congress at the Capitol, giving a speech, hyping up all of the fake terror and how important it is that we stay on our toes, or Al-Qaeda or Hamas that Israel publicly admits they founded. Oh, you didn't know that that's admitted mainline history, are about to attack us, so we've got to give all our rights up. What would the national security state of Israel, where they can ban free speech, arrest scientists that expose their nuclear program, get away with whatever they want, what would Israel do if they didn't have all these convenient terrorists menacing their population and our population? What would Israel do? Well, Israel wouldn't be able to continue to expand its borders. Israel wouldn't be able to continue to lobby in the U.S., to set up police state style systems here. Oh, yes, it's Israel in many cases that is advising the SWAT teams and local police and the threat fusion centers. And I quite frankly resent it. I don't want to be involved in Egypt. I don't want to be involved in Israel. I don't want to be involved in Libya. I don't want to be involved in Pakistan. I don't want to be involved in the 160 plus countries that my tax money pays for. Why are we concerned with Israel? A country the size of Rhode Island. Why are we concerned with England? Why are we concerned with Russia? It's like, George, why? I know for some of you this sounds completely alien. And that's because America has gotten so far away from our roots, so far away from what this country was established for, not getting involved in foreign entanglements, not getting involved in foreign alliances. That was a revolutionary idea. That was George Washington who said that. Because before, countries were always in wars, always teaming up with each other, always trying to invade other countries, always trying to come to the aid of another country. Instead of just being left alone and engaging in trade and being people's friends. But see, oh, then if somebody attacks you, then you've got to attack them. Well, what if that country really isn't going to attack you? What if your ally attacks you? Or funds a group to attack you, or creates a group to attack you, so that you'll then come to their aid. It's very basic psychology, and I quite frankly am sick and tired of it. And what if you're the military-industrial complex, getting trillions of American tax dollars a year, running the red light cameras, running the police surveillance programs, running the black box initiatives in all the cell phones and computers and going into all the cars by law to track everything we're doing, developed by defense contractor companies who can just go lobby the government, just like big Agra can lobby the government to shut down their small competition, just like we see GE running the White House, shutting down their competition through the greenhouse gas taxes and regulations. Look, this is the name of the game. A bunch of insiders who are able to write the laws and the regulations, because if they can't get Congress to pass a law, they just do it, to basically dismantle what our country once was. And now we can't talk about trying to restore the republic, trying to get us out from under the clutches of the foreign private banking corporate cartels. Instead, we've got to be lectured by Benjamin Netanyahu about our obsession in every newspaper, every magazine, every week for my entire life, nothing but Israel, nothing but the Palestinians, nothing but their 3,000-year-old tribal warfare between these groups that is never going to end. Never, never, never. No matter what side you take, it's never going away. It's never going to stop. It's never going to cease. This is perpetual. Perpetual. And our government spends more time on what's going on in the Middle East and Israel than they do dealing with problems here in our country. And you know, last time I checked, folks, we're not England, we're not Israel, we're not Germany, we're not Russia, we're the United States. But this is what globalism is all about, getting us involved in these foreign entanglements, and that's why we're bankrupt. And You know, quite frankly, I am angry at the Israeli lobby. I don't like what the Israeli lobby is doing. I don't like the General Electric lobby. I don't like the defense contractor lobbies. I don't like any of these foreign international organizations coming in and buying our politicians like their baseball cards they're collecting or so much change in their pocket. I don't like foreign domination, illegitimate foreign domination. And Israel, the Israeli lobby, openly, you can go look it up, is one of the biggest financiers of anti-gun legislation in this country. And the NRA needs to talk about that. Gun Owners of America needs to talk about that. Why in Israel do they give all the Israelis who wanted M16s, which is fine with me, I'm all for people being able to defend themselves, but then the Chuckie Schumer and the Rahm Emanuel and all these people who in many cases are admittedly Israeli citizens and serve in the Israeli military, like Rahm Emanuel, and then he says that he wants all handguns banned, and he wants to be able to have a secret government list where I can't buy a gun, no judge, no jury, no arrest, no charges, no due process, and I can't find out why I'm on the list or how I got on it, and then I can't own a gun because he says so. Because he says so. Because he is my boss. He is my owner. I don't like that. And I don't like the fact that British intelligence is so heavily involved in our politics, but more behind the scenes. I don't like foreign intrusion. You see, the government is setting up a system where the people are cut off from their elected representatives, who are no longer servants but are officials and authorities and excellencies and honors and all of these titles that belong to, you know, kings. And it's time for Americans to quit being so polite. It's time for Americans to quit mincing words and going along with the different mafias that exist, that we're all taught to salute. Saluting Israel is the greatest form of American patriotism, we're told. Saluting the defense contractors is the greatest form of patriotism. Saluting the Federal Reserve is the greatest form of patriotism. Saluting the corrupt local mayors is the greatest form of patriotism. Groveling to police, who more and more act like out-of-control criminals, slamming people's heads in the ground out of wheelchairs and then lying and saying that they fell out of the wheelchair when the video is public. That just came out a few days ago. And the police say, oh, he fell out. Yeah, they grab him, slam his head in, keep slamming it. That's falling. I mean, it's even when we know they're lying, they lie in our face as a part of disrespect. And I'm supposed to just run out with a piece of pie and a cup of coffee every time I see a cop and be afraid and kiss their hind end and everything. Like, I've been in Mexico. I've been in Honduras and places. And you see the corrupt cops strutting around, bugging their eyes out at people. And I just can't help it. I see Mexican troops walking along with in their black uniforms with machine guns, bugging their eyes out, people scared, tourists kind of ducking into things. And I just go ahead and just look at them. And because it's an exercise that I keep my humanity and that I not be turned into a servile coward. And I start taking pictures of them. And most of the time, suddenly they go from acting like a weird thug to kind of looking at you and smiling because they think, oh, you must have power because you're not afraid of me. See, the system likes poor people with sewer lines open in the street and chickens running around and children with malnutrition. The globalists have written white papers on how they want to use poverty to control us and then have poverty-stricken cops who all they've got is their one uniform with the mustard stains on it, out there shaking people down. And I'm done. I'm done having wart-covered tyranny being shoved in my face, and I'm being told it's Miss America. I'm tired of them rolling a skeleton out in front of me and telling me I need to take it to the prom. It's a rotten, decaying mass. We've studied history. It's common sense. Tyranny happens over and over again. The servants always get too much power, and then they become the masters, and then they go crazy. I I don't even know what to say. I don't even know what to do anymore. I mean, it is prima facie in your face that this entire society is sinking into a total swamp of corruption. That's the scariest thing about corruption. Once total corruption sets in, the corrupt operate the same way throughout history and every culture. Corruption and crime is truly one of the oldest and most organized cultures. And it always wages war against any system or any canon or any law or any idea or any institution that would resist its total domination. And then once they're in place, the criminals then have an extreme form of nepotism where they recruit from the criminal ranks and create new offices for the criminal ranks and are threatened by anything good and wholesome and then overrun everything good and pull it down until they're sitting on a pile of societal, industrial, in the more modern sense, or sociological wreckage of civilization. They always pull it down. They always wreck everything. And then the rest of the population fights back by being passive-aggressive and not producing a lot or sitting around on their butts. Why should you paint a painting? It'll just be stolen. Why should you build a business? It'll just be stolen. And then the whole society circles the toilet. And that's America. And it's all happening right now. And when I see cops bugging their eyes out on power trips, I bug my eyes right back out. That's 1776. Find your heart and your soul again. There's still time to save the Republic. We'll be right back.
If you leave me, I won't miss you. And I won't ever take you back.
Well, the British government has announced they're going to deploy a whole bunch of attack helicopters to the ground of Libya. If the Libyan government fires back, of course, it'll be an act of terrorism. When a foreign army invades you and you fight back, it's now an act of terrorism. That's the bizarre new psychology. They sunk last week 8 Libyan warships in port. The bombing is only intensifying. Congress, of course, the House and Senate sent letters last week to President Obama and said, President Obama, we would like you to tell us how long you're going to be there. And if you're going to continue, you need to come to us and get war powers authorization as the Constitution states. And Obama, ABC News covered his quotes, said, we don't need that anymore. We have UN authorization. And that's the end of it. Congress, you can go sit in the corner and put a dunce hat on and suck your thumb. Why not? I mean, they spy on us without warrants. They've got federalized goons at the TSA announcing the rollout at the prom and at grocery stores and malls and randomly at G20 meetings. In Pittsburgh, they just say no one's allowed on the street anywhere randomly. And they attack old ladies with police dogs coming out of stores with bags. I mean, why not have the president tell Congress, sit down and shut up? Why not have the president tell the governor of Tennessee 2 years ago when they had military checkpoints on the highways? The governor said, you can't do that without my permission. And the Fed said, we'll do whatever we want. Read the John Warren Defense Authorization Act. This is what's going on. This is what's happening. This is what we're dealing with as a society. Because once the government isn't bound and once they start breaking little rules, then they break bigger rules. And finally, they just say, we'll do whatever we want. We'll give $27 trillion to foreign offshore banks and then not tell Congress where it went. We'll do whatever we want. We'll stick our hands down your pants. We'll break your will. We'll randomly say you're not allowed to buy guns now. Because Americans, for now, at least 3 generations, haven't really been taught about liberty or freedom or what it means. And in the last 20 or 30 years, they've demonized people. I mean, I remember getting government dossiers and reports in the mid-90s where it said, do they make frequent references to the U.S. Constitution? Do they have a get us out of the U.N. sticker on their car? I remember a law enforcement magazine I bought at 7-Eleven just randomly something told me by that. I think it was Weapons and Technology of Law Enforcement. It was a SWAT team type magazine, and it was in there, and you can probably pull this up online, because I did find an online copy of it many years ago. And they said, look, if you see a Get Us Out of the UN sticker on a car, go ahead and pull them over, go ahead and arrest them. And police chiefs, don't chastise this officer, because having a Get Us Out of the UN sticker means they may be a terrorist. So go ahead and bring them in for whatever reason you need to. Make up whatever you need to. See, in America now, cops read that and they go, well, it's in an open magazine that I need to go ahead and take people into jail. And they see, as long as it's publicly exercised, that's why they publicly came out and said, torture is good. Torture is American. As American as John Wayne, apple pie, and baseball. And then the military went out and tortured people to death, including people's children in front of their parents. That's in the Army's own report, just Army report on torture at Abu Ghraib. You'll get MSNBC first published the full thing if you've got the nerve to read it. Again, they used acid on large objects on children. I'm not going to get into it, but it's Hellraiser Jeffrey Dahmer. It actually is worse than Jeffrey Dahmer. Jeffrey Dahmer would sedate them before he used them as sex slaves, which is bad enough. This is the opposite of sedation with the acid in the orifices. But again, then they got caught, and so a few of them went to prison, but then Bush put a book out saying, I'd order torture again. See, that's the crazy world where raping children with battery acid dripping objects, that's America. And if you don't basically hail Hellraiser and Pinhead, I mean, if you don't get into hardcore sadomasochistic child torture, you're not American. You're not tough. You're not a leader. You don't have what it takes. How many shows on 24 and countless other programs, same thing in Europe, we wrote articles about it. Just search TV show promotes torture of children, prisonplanet.com. You'll get a whole bunch of articles on it. And, you know, different TV shows in Europe, England, and the U.S., Canada, they all have their own special shows. Homeland Security admitted they were involved in some of the behind-the-scenes production and product placement funding, propaganda placement in the show. And, oh, the good guy has to torture a kid in front of the parent, but that stops the nuke from going off, see? And once you get the cops to take on the Hellraiser attitude that it's good to want to torture kids, well, now the sky's the limit. Then you build a out-of-control federal brigade of pot-bellied pedophiles who stick their hands down the pants to teach the parents to submit.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Okay, here's the deal on really big news. Webster Griffin Tarpley is going to be joining us coming up in the second hour today, dealing with his breakdown article, U.S. and Pakistan near open war. So that is coming up in the second hour today. In the third hour, Dr. Jerome Corsi joins us with new breaking news. This is breaking at prisonplanet.com, but he has even more for us on the whole birth certificate, now social security number, appears that it could be someone else's. They don't issue it to you from a state you don't live in. Of course, he to file criminal charges against White House over Obama birth certificate, prisonplanet.com. That's big news on that front. We're going to be talking again to Corsi coming up. But I do want to open the phones up right now. The toll-free number to join us is 1-800-259-9231. Again, that's 1-800-259-9231, and we will get you up and on the air. Also, in other news, they announced today that Hosni Mubarak, the old U.S. Ally of 32 years, and his son will be charged with war crimes and will face the death penalty. for attacking and beating protesters. Now, this is routinely done in the U.S. People are tasered to death routinely. People are killed at the wrong house routinely. And this, I'm not saying it's a good thing what Egypt was doing, but you better believe it's about getting the $7 billion that Mubarak reportedly culled from that population over the 30-plus years he was in power. And then notice there's no discussion of where his $7 billion went. The new puppet group that's in there, controlled by the old U.S.-created and trained military, basically the U.S. now, the people that run the U.S., then through the U.S., the big megabanks that run the U.S., then through their military-industrial complex and COG, Cotonou government system, then control Egypt. And that's on record. And so what does that tell you about the globalists? Their own guy who groveled to them, who would take people from all over the world on U.S. aircraft flown there, including American citizens, to be tortured viciously. The darling of Israel, the darling of the United States. State Department comes in, sends Alberti in a week before revolution to start. They fund groups. They send in a Google executive on record to control the Google, Facebook manipulations. They send out the crowds, which many of which had a reason to rebel against the Western-backed dictator. But that's like the FBI arresting some local New Jersey capo, but not going after the Don of the tri-state area. Not going after the big Don sitting in Manhattan, but busting a capo, say, over Newark. And the Don is on television telling us how he's liberating Newark from his capo. And we sit here with a completely and totally straight face putting up with this. I mean, it's just completely asinine. So they're going to end up killing him, probably. They'll execute him and his son. Or maybe they'll just put him in prison. But the word is, remember Mubarak refused to step down? Our media came out and said, Mubarak will step down in 1 hour. State Department can confirm. Mubarak comes out 8-9 hours later in the middle of the night, Egypt time, in the evening here, and says, I will not be stepping down to this foreign plot. You're trying to bring down our country. And they said, take that. And suddenly he falls over with a stroke. And they've got patented systems that are audio frequency systems they can hit, generally the elderly, where there's massive, on average, clotting in the big arteries in the throat, and it breaks that up. My dad told me about this, and I went and looked it up, and there it was. And so nobody can even hear it. You just feel a vibration in your throat. It breaks up all that plaque, and boom, you have the stroke a few hours later. But who knows? I'm sure he just had a stroke a few minutes after leaving the podium. I'm sure it was stressful for him. The head guy in Tunisia. Now three of the Middle Eastern leaders have strokes. They don't die now. They just fall over like jellyfish, and then they'll roll in the unconscious person for the trial and then execute him, and then there will be no Obama says they're going to forgive the $1 billion of IMF World Bank debt. Egypt's, last time I checked, has debt many times that, and they've paid off the debts many times, but never the interest. Of course, just created out of nothing, backed up by U.S. taxpayer money and European tax money predominantly. Those are the main contributors to the IMF and World Bank. U.S. is the biggest contributor to the World Bank, Europe to the IMF, but both power blocks contribute. And looking at this, it just shows the abject treachery. And you got to love, we're several months into the whole Gaddafi bombardment. After a couple months of their al-Qaeda-backed rebels not being able to overthrow Gaddafi, they just continue to intensify the bombardment, the ground troops, advising the weapon systems, the satellites being turned over to the rebels to coordinate attacks. Now the attack helicopters, the British, the BBC, and others are reporting, are flowing in with the attack helicopters, which are extremely formidable. The Libyan government forces have been doing hit and runs and popping up and popping back undercover, fighting the al-Qaeda forces. Now the al-Qaeda forces are continuing to not have big victories and continuing to lose. And so they're now getting ready to swear out war crimes on Gaddafi. And they openly told him, they said, leave to another African country and we won't charge you with war crimes. And of course, he knows that they lie incessantly. Remember, Saddam was told, leave Iraq and we won't invade. And then it later got declassified. They were planning to invade regardless. And they were lying. Well, of course they're lying. The globalists lie out of hand. And we just naively, like children, think anything the government pushes or says is a great thing. So this is basically World War III by quasi-stealth. 1,000-plus drones bombing Pakistan. U.S. helicopters attacking military bases, military emplacements. Helicopters going in and doing the stage killing of Osama bin Bernanke. I meant Osama bin Laden. All of this going on. Pakistan says you're starting a war with us. China says don't start a war with them. You've got all these other proxy wars starting up everywhere. And remember, it's not our government doing this. It's the criminals that have hijacked it and put their people in government. This is an illegitimate government. And they hate the American people even more than they hate sovereign Pakistanis, sovereign Libyans. They hate anybody they don't control. This is about total domination of every facet of society. Speaking of that, globally, the agreements are being codified for new systems to shut down websites without court orders, to censor websites, and to have government roles at Google, YouTube, Yahoo, Facebook, and all the other major systems. It's basically the internet to plan. And all over Europe and England, and now it's starting here, YouTube and Google are knocking videos down saying this was taken down due to a government request. So it's not happening with a bang, but with a whimper. Here's the Washington Times. Senate debates presidential power during cyber attack. So and you notice part of that is the kill switches on all the phones and devices and the takeover switches with government messages. It's not really a kill switch. It can be used as that. Its main system is a government takeover switch. A kill switch is only one facet of it. It's a government takeover switch. The point is they're getting all this ready now and announcing it to you, which means they're getting closer to using it. It says existing law crafted 1934 for radio. And it's a total takeover system. Senator squared off with the Obama administration yesterday about plans to give the president emergency powers to protect vital U.S. electronic networks from attacks by hackers, cyber terrorists, and foreign governments. And what it does is it actually puts, by law, NSA takedown hubs so they can take the web down or control it. And that's admitted, which then allows a foreign power or terrorist to actually go in and use the system to bring it down. They're building the kill switch and the back doors in, which then allow any criminal group, the globalists, you name it, to do it. And that's why Obama's first head of cybersecurity resigned 2 years ago and pointed that out. The Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee held a hearing on the administration's legislative proposal announced 2 weeks ago that would rely on a pre-World War II radio emergency law to provide the president with the authority to protect key computer communications networks, like those mainly in private hands that run power grids, phone systems, banking systems, from cyber attack. Yeah, they've gotten away from the lie of nuclear power plants. They're not hooked up to the web. And so we've got to do this. The hackers will attack the nukes. They'll go in and detonate nukes inside military bases. Why? That's all hooked to the internet. Sure it is. They're inside big vaults with guys with machine guns guarding them. That's so ridiculous. The Stuxnet that Israeli and U.S. intelligence now admit they designed, but they say we've got to give up our cybersecurity rights because of Stuxnet. They launch it, but then that's an example of why they need more power over the web, because the U.S. and Israel in concert made the Stuxnet. It had to be injected by Iranian moles, that is, moles controlled by the West in Iran, into the internal computer systems that, by the way, were bought from the West, which is the back door. It had to be injected with thumb drives into the internal networks. It was not hooked to anything external. But then they used Stuxnet. See, their nuclear system was brought down. It's terrible. We've got to have a takeover system here. It was injected into networks that were private. And under this cybersecurity plan that we've broken down with cybersecurity experts, but it's all in black and white, it actually puts hubs into the infrastructure so the system can hijack the power plants, hijack all cell phones, all smartphones, all computers, all dishers, dryers, light bulbs, the fluorescents are built for data over power lines to go in and control those. You can't make this up. Smart meters in your house for your power. This is a total technological takeover, and the best part is you pay for it when you buy the devices. You pay in the added cost for that Big Brother hidden tax that the companies are mandated to put in. So I've got that report. Senate debates presidential power during cyber attack. Fed sees 8 more domains and piracy crackdown. Key internet summit to discuss online rules. Sarkozy woos web giants, urges state role, wants them to basically merge. Sarkozy runs the media in France. Sarkozy, government must regulate the internet. That's AP. Feds mandate black boxes in all new cars. Kurt Nemo, Infowars.com. They've already been in most new cars for a decade. Toyota was the first to put them in more than a decade ago, but now it's the law with the tracker box in your car, how fast you drive, what you did, what went on, and then they use it to charge you. You know, let's say you're going 5 miles over the speed limit, a deer jumps out, you run off the road, and there's cases they go ahead and charge you with felonies for reckless driving. So it's a guilty until proven innocent surveillance box. Also, Disney Star Wars ride gets its own TSA checkpoint. This is from the Disney press release. Can't make that up. They also biometrically scan you to get into the park. In this case, though, it's not a real body scanner, but droids and I guess stormtroopers shout orders at you. So it's fun for the kids to learn how to be slaves in the Empire. But after all, Darth Vader was just trying to keep us safe. Of course, was the blowing up of the Death Star an inside job? I mean, do you really believe 12 guys with X-Wings could do it? Only in Hollywood, folks. That's what I mean. It's ridiculous. It's all fantasy. Okay, that's just some of the news I've got here. I spent about an hour last night watching different newscasts from around Texas because in the first 6 months of these reports coming out, there were no reports in the news of where the radium and other radioactive isotopes at high levels were coming from, and because it's in water districts all over Texas. And only a few of the TV stations, one of them in Central Texas, reported that out of the aquifers we're drinking out of, they are claiming that that's where the radium and other isotopes are at levels so high that it pegs the Geiger counters. and I did some more research last night. Turns out there's no known deposits of radium in whales that high. They were wondering in some of the newscast why the radiation isn't as high. It's low in the Hill Country water, naturally, some of it. That's one isotope. There's a bunch of them. They were wondering why it was so high in the pipes. And they were putting Geiger counters up to city pipes that were just a few years old in several towns outside Austin. And the Geiger counter was going wild at 2 times, 6 times, 14 times, 20 times, depending on which pipe they tested. And they were saying, it must be precipitating out and calcifying at higher levels in the pipe. And that could certainly happen. But no one's pointing out all the published literature and Dr. Connett's book and the admissions that in the sodium fluoride that we buy from China, that we buy from Florida, other big areas where they mine this out of the phosphate mines for fertilizer, that's where the deposits of a wide range of isotopes. And if you read the suppressed state reports in Texas, and this is going on in other states, it goes back for decades. Well, in 2001, they were talking about it suppressed for decades, the radioactive isotopes, but they're not discussing the fact, see, they're scapegoating that, there's some radium, which then can give off, I guess, the radon gas. There's some radium in Texas water, which is certainly very bad for you. Give you a really nice case of liver cancer, kidney cancer, bladder cancers with a big one, bone cancer precipitates out in the bones. That's certainly part of it. But they're now scapegoating that is the only place you're getting it and not dare point out that, I'm telling you, folks, people inside water treatment plants around America, if you'll just get a certified $300 Geiger counter, and if you'll go into your pipes, and if you'll go into the bags of fluoride, or if it's the liquid type, you get the tanks of it, and you put your Geiger counter up to that, all you got to do is go up when nobody's there at work. This is, I guess, industrial sabotage. Homeland Security says you're not supposed to. I guess don't. Don't let us know that there's uranium or plutonium, because it would be terrorism in the water to actually save people. But just go up, and I guarantee you, people do this at water treatment plants. You go up to those bags of fluoride, it's going to be off-the-chart radiation. And I think that's, by the way, we have the newscast showing them with the city water pipes. So that's coming up later. I'm going to take two segments of your phone calls, John, Mike, Mary, Tony, Cameron, then Webster Tarp was coming up at 8 after. Next hour, PrisonPlanet.tv, InfoWars.com. Stay with us. Coming up towards the end of the third hour, I'm going to play some of those local newscasts showing the Geiger counters on the city water pipes. And, radiation so high that it actually pushes the needles. Very low levels of radiation over time build up in the body and will kill you. If it's high enough to actually have the needles going wild, I mean, you're talking incredibly high levels. And it's all over Texas. There's no national news on this. It's always local news that will report it. You have to understand it's being added to the water. That's one of the main sources. Yes, there's some radioactive isotopes in some aquifers because they're limestone aquifers in Texas. Where do you mine phosphates for aluminum? Or the materials left over from aluminum smelting? Where do you mine the phosphates for the fertilizer industry? Limestone deposits. And so that's the big issue and one I continue to push, hoping that these investigative reporters go pick up this information and put it out in the national media so we can reverse these isotopes being added to the water. Let's go ahead and talk to John in North Carolina. John, you're on the air.
Hi, Alex. How you doing?
Pretty good.
Hey, I'm military. I woke up when I was halfway through deployment in 2009. And they used to tell us some things that just didn't quite make sense. And we didn't notice it at the time, but towards the end we realized something was up. But
what type of things were they telling you?
They were telling us that there were Iranian snipers in the sector. Well, how would they know they were Iranian unless they caught these guys? They were telling us that we were going to go make payments out to some of the higher-ranking sheikhs in the area to help with our humanitarian aid and to build a rapport with the locals. Well, we were handing out the payments, the cash payments. They were in cash. I had duffel bags of like $300,000 on my back, and I would go to the town hall and hand over this money, no questions asked. And I feel so bad for doing it, and I realized...
Well, that's on record. You know, a lot of that money was to actually pay for attacks on American soldiers. That's been confirmed.
Yeah, well, it was paid for. They said it was for road improvement, and I thought they meant, you know, building streetlights and.
No, they meant IEDs. You see, sir, you've just stumbled into it. What does full spectrum dominance really mean? If you truly dominate everything, you control the enemy and you control the counterforce, which is your excuse to stay in country and pump the trillions in. I'm sorry. Please continue.
Yeah, you're exactly right. If they can't fight back, then you don't really have to beat them.
I don't want to put words in your mouth. Is that what you were about to say? Is that?
Yeah, you're exactly right. I maybe covered this a while back, but I didn't notice that. But yeah, that road improvement was to make the roads safer. We were paying them off not to blow us up. So we're running around doing patrols, looking for the bad guys, and we would do a quote unquote humanitarian aid mission and hand over money to the bad guys, quote unquote. Maybe they were the bad guys. You know, maybe they were. I'm not the guy specifically in the room with me, but and then we'd hand the money over to him, and you know, hard day's work, and 6 months into it we were like, when are they going to fix these damn roads? Like, and they never did. Luckily we also never got blown
now,
up at the same
now
time.
Now you understand, though, that was only one level of the full spectrum dominance. when you start paying people off to not bomb you, they're going to come back later and hold you hostage and start bombing again until the payments return, and the people doing the bombing think they're in control, but the psych warfare chiefs understand that means that whenever they want to initiate destabilization again as a pretext to stay, they simply stop making the payments. Do you understand how that works?
That makes a lot of sense. I can see that.
Any other stories you want to tell us about Iraq?
Not too much I can say. Still in the military.
Hold on just a second. We're back in 1 minute.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, folks, I forget that we had a one-minute break there. I was taking care of some business during the break. I guess going back to the callers here. John, North Carolina, you called in currently in the military. You had one more thing you wanted to add. Go ahead.
So I got a story about it involves the police state, which you were talking about for the Better Party show this morning. When we got back, me and a couple of my roommates, me and a couple of guys that deployed with, we were living together, and we got like the Don't Tread on Me flags. Like, we're all about, going back to the roots that America was built on, and not this whole empire of America thing, because it's getting a little out of control. So anyway, there was an incident, and they needed to search the house. I'm not going to discuss the incident because it's still in court, and I'm not allowed to, but there's an incident, but I can talk about my involvement because I was cleared. There's an incident, and they searched the house, and they saw, the Don't Tread on Me flags and the Join or Die flags, and we had our state flags up, and we had a copy of the Constitution hanging.
Ooh.
And they thought, I'm not kidding. I was a little skeptical about some of the things you said about it. I'm sure there were some isolated incidents. But when it happened to me, it struck. It cut deep. And especially since I was a soldier, I couldn't believe it.
So you are swearing an oath to a Constitution, and you like your state, and you're proud of the founding flags of this country, and they thought they'd found Al-Qaeda, I guess.
You'd think, because they rolled in hard, like we used to roll into some of the houses in Iraq. And I invited them into my house. Like, I signed the release to search the house, and at least my part of the house is the expectation of privacy clauses for the other individuals that were paying rent. But they saw these flags. They were taking pictures of everything. They saw the state flag of Maryland. They were like, "Why do you have a German flag hanging in your room?" And I'm like, "That's not a German flag." And now this is the FBI. You think the guy would have, at least worked near Maryland at some point in his career. And I was like, that's the flag of Maryland. And he's like, is it? And I'm like, of course.
No, you're in a file as having a German flag. But see, this is what America's all about. The borders are wide open, but citizens that are truly patriotic, you're the enemy, because the globalists are here to get rid of the republic. They are the real traitors. So, of course, if they see somebody that knows the score, their minions have been trained, you're the enemy.
Right, and I had all these books about U.S. government, and like basically textbooks, and I was reading about like what our students are currently.
Oh, no, there's nothing worse than actually being informed. Oh, I bet they got some book reading. Oh, they found those.
Wait till I get to the firearms, and they did not like the books. They were accusing me of the books, and I'm like, hey, like, freedom of the press. Like, I can read whatever I want, as long as it's not how to blow up American soldiers. Like, then I can understand you'd have a problem. And they were just freaking out. And And then I had a couple of firearms in my room, you know, because, you know, I take my job seriously. I shoot on the weekends. I don't just shoot during the week.
How dare you own a firearm?
There was this one officer, and she was part of the Army's investigative branch. The second she saw the firearms, she got on the phone and was like, it was just, these are her exact words, it's just like you told us, there's an arsenal of illegal weapons here. And then she points at everybody and she's like, start looking for trap doors and secret hiding places.
And it was amazing. You ridiculous. Want to do a YouTube video on it, brother? All right, we got Webster Tarpley coming up.
This Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
If you just joined us, we had a caller, John from North Carolina, and I got his name and number. I might even have him on as a guest in the future if he gives us the documentation of the story he told. But he described how, you know, he's in the Army off base. And, you know, they're all, you know, together off base, living in a house, pooling their resources, renting it, as most military does. And the first thing you want to do is get off base, you know, so you can have your own place. And they raided them for guns. And they were legal guns. And they had the Culpeper Minuteman flag, Don't Tread on Me, which the Marine Corps is their favorite, and the Army, some of their units have it. I mean, what do you think the military is going to have? I mean, if you go back to even 50 years ago at Fort Benning, Georgia, I've seen photographs of that flag flying at Special Forces. I know that it was one of the favorite flags. In fact, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, up until just a few decades ago, had it in their war room. So you've got this pure piece of Americana. It's funny he mentioned it. I'm wearing it today. Infowars.com, you know, we sell one with a Thomas Jefferson quote on the back, talking about the Tree of Liberty being watered with the blood of tyrants as well as patriots. And they come into his house, and the head Army investigator, a woman, was hyperventilating, basically, you know, going, oh my gosh, they've got, you know, Culpeper flags, they've got firearms, these are obviously illegal. And he said earlier, you know, obviously they weren't. The whole case got dropped. And here they come. And I see those reports all the time where generally it's an old man in a suburb cleaning his guns in his garage. And the cops come and it'll say Mr. Johnson was arrested for an arsenal. And then a week later you notice that he's released because there's no law saying what an arsenal is. But he had three rifles, a handgun, and 1,000 rounds of ammo. If that's an arsenal, folks, I've probably got 15 or more guns. I mean, I love them. I got guns my dad gave me, grandpa gave me. People die, they pass them down. I mean, I like guns. A lot of people have more than that. And it's a good investment. I'm about to go to Webster Tarpley here in a moment. I just wanted to finish with what John was talking about. But in my film, Road to Tyranny, I don't just have FEMA training police that anybody who likes the Founding Fathers is a terrorist. The Founding Fathers are bad. Anybody that talks about freedom's bad. I have the training manuals, video of it. I have Abby Newman in Virginia, no criminal record, Navy veteran, and they pull her over. Well, it's a checkpoint. And she says, well, you've got to have a reason. Broad daylight checkpoint on the little farm road. There's cars all lined up. They're searching them. She says, you can't search my car. And they say, get out. We'll do whatever we want. And they find a Harrison Ford Patriot Games VHS. Well, then the hyperventilating starts. The word Patriot, Harrison Ford, anything associated with liberty, they start getting scared. They pop the trunk, and they go, oh, oh. It's on video. I ought to play it. And they go, oh, oh, look at this, sir. And the sergeant runs over, and he's like, my God, I cannot believe it. I mean, you thought they found a dead child. Pocket Constitution, the one we put free in all our orders. I mean, Declaration of Independence, Constitution, Bill of Rights, what these guys swore an oath to. And they go, I can't believe it. Is it legal to have this, Sarge? He's like, I don't know, but Lord, call in this paraphernalia. And they just sit there in fear. I mean, as if they have found Satan in the trunk. These are grown men with an irrational fear impregnated in them because they're told, impregnated in their minds, they're told in drill after drill, They want to kill you, officers. They like George Washington. And they're like, George Washington evil. I mean, I have the video of this. This is In Road to Tyranny. It's free online. You get the DVD from us if you want it in higher quality. And they are just, no wonder they won't hire police with over 100 IQ anywhere in the U.S. I mean, these guys, they teach them this Pavlovian, like telling a three-year-old, you know, do what you say or the monsters are going to get you. I mean, they are, and so he was describing the same thing where she's just like, they've got a Culpepper flag, they've got guns, we found the terrorist. And these are guys in the military. Now, remember, the number one threat Homeland Security is taught, this came out in the MIAC and Homeland Security reports of now 2 years ago, is veterans. Returning veterans are hated. They're put on the no gun buy list outside of law. They go and try to buy guns, suddenly can't. Hundreds of thousands of them, started with Clinton. And you are hated. So remember that. And cops, you're hated too. In the future police state, just like under Hitler and Stalin, when they're done with you, they're going to set you up as well. So you better understand, this is the cult mentality of the globalist, to teach police, to teach military, to teach them that anybody who is a true American and knows what this country's about. I mean, I have cops, state police, hyperventilating in fear like a little old lady that opens the back door and there's a rattlesnake, you know, on the back porch. They act like they found a rattlesnake in the back of the car. And they go ahead and take her to jail. They grab her. And she says, oh, like she's scared. She doesn't touch him. And they go, resisting. And they're all like, we got her. And so they went ahead and framed her on their own squad car video. Kind of like the new video out of Chicago where the guy's in a wheelchair. They say, get up. He says, I can't. And so they just grab him, take him. Two men slam his head repeatedly in the concrete. Blood is spraying out. And the cops put out a press release the day after the video came out, NBC News, and said he fell and hit his head. I mean, on video, they're bouncing his head on the ground like a basketball. And then say, he fell and hit his head. See, it's all about, they're wolves, we're sheep, savage. And all cops aren't like this, but they're trying to convert it to that. Now, I'm going to shut up and go to Webster Griffin Tarpley, but I wanted to finish up with what that gentleman was bringing up there, a bunch of hyperventilating ninnies who are terrorist hunters. He said they rolled in like we'd roll in Baghdad. Well, you that's what the training's all for, Bubba. So you can come back here and roll in on the American people. See, it's Al-Qaeda over there. It's patriots over here are the white Al-Qaeda, according to them. Webster Griffin Tarpley is an incisive critic of the Anglo-American hegemony and activist. An historian, best known for his book, George Bush, The Unauthorized Biography. He's written several books on Obama, The Unauthorized Biography. Tarpley.net. We've got him on for the rest of the hour. We'll also get to a smattering of your calls on whatever issue they are. Mike, Mary, Tony, Richard, James, I'll get to you. Jerome Corsi coming up on the latest birther issues. We'll get Tarpley's take on that as well. But Webster, you wrote this key article, U.S. and Pakistan Near Open War. You've had the U.S. helicopter attack inside Pakistan after the bin Laden thing last week. These Al-Qaeda commandos attacking this base yesterday. We've got Pakistan openly in their major papers saying, yes, Al-Qaeda is CIA run now. Pakistan's running to China and Russia. Hamid Ghul's come on, the former head of Pakistani intelligence, basically concurred with what you're saying here. Any attack on Pakistan will be construed as an attack on China, the Chinese government has now said. This is what you talked about 6 months ago on this show, as where you saw the next flare-up happening in the Brzezinski model. Dr. Tarpley, we're going to break in 4 minutes. You've got the floor. Break down what's happening.
Well, thank you, Alex. I guess the current situation is the following. The U.S. and Pakistan are moving towards an open shooting war. There has long been a latent war, a war going on at a very low level, but this is now escalating towards something much bigger and more visible, and it has to do with this insistence of Obama and his man on the scene now, Grossman, the guy who replaced Holbrook, the regional envoy, that they can violate the Pakistani border anytime they want to without consulting or even informing the Pakistani government. They can make these unauthorized raids, all on the model of this bin Laden stunt, which I guess we've amply established now as a complete fraud from beginning to end. So the big news, though, is that Pakistan does not stand alone, and that behind Pakistan, which is already a nuclear power, you've got China. And with China, you're talking about intercontinental ballistic missiles with hydrogen bomb warheads, you're also talking about $2 to $3 trillion worth of U.S. securities that could be used as a strategic weapon in its own right if things got really, really extreme. The news is, according to the Times of India, that the Chinese have issued this ultimatum. They did it in a typical low-key, rather polite Chinese way. It was done privately. It was done during the U.S.-Chinese strategic dialogue here in Washington 2 weeks ago. It would have been delivered by Vice Prime Minister Wang Qishan. And it essentially was the Chinese saying to the United States, any attack by the United States on Pakistan would be construed as an attack on China. So if you attack Pakistan, you're attacking China. You quarrel with Islamabad, you got grief with Beijing. And that is a language of ultimatum that we have not heard. The last time I can find that anybody issued an ultimatum to the United States was Khrushchev in 1961, the Soviet leader during the Cuban Missile Crisis and during the Berlin Crisis, which was when this was. The ultimatum was get out of Berlin in 6 months or else something. This is much more specific. It's quite unusual for the U.S. to be on the receiving end. In public and officially, the Chinese foreign ministry said last Thursday that everyone must, and that's must, respect the sovereignty and the territorial integrity of Pakistan. So don't attack them and don't try to break them up. And break them up is what the United States is doing. As a token of the seriousness of the China-Pakistan alliance, when the Pakistani Prime Minister Gilani visited Beijing last week, he was given a rather imposing gift. He was given 50, that's 50, of the most modern Chinese jet fighter aircraft. This is the JF-17, and he was given 50 of them for free and right away. So essentially enough to staff a whole air fleet.
This is an ultra-gigantic escalation. We're going to come back, Webster. You will continue to have the floor to break down with the precision that only you can deliver, and I mean that because Webster 6 months ago laid all this out, exactly how it would unfold, the color revolutions in the Middle East. I mean, go back and watch those shows. Listen to those shows. They're all archived at PrisonPlanet.tv. Nobody's got a grasp on the geopolitical machinations of the New World Order like Dr. Tarpley, Doctor of History. He's also an economist. I'm Alex Jones. This is the GCN Radio Network, GCNLive.com. Stay with us. Okay, Webster, Griffin, Tarpley, China, their government, as you mentioned, this week and last week, put out official statements, quote, an attack on Pakistan would be construed as an attack on China. China made good, even when they didn't have nuclear weapons during the Korean War, to ready to have war, full war with the U.S. They were in North Korea, killed tens of thousands of our troops. China is well known by every geopolitical strategist. I want to see if you agree that if they tell you that they're going to do something, they will do it. And they are not to be messed with. And they see this in their sphere of influence. What does this signify that we have these cold wars that are really hot under the name of humanitarian bombings in Libya, Pakistan? The Pakistanis now in their major papers and the head of their Pakistani intelligence, the current head coming out and saying, yes, the bin Laden thing is meant to frame us. Yes, the West is running Al-Qaeda inside here to try to blame it on our government to start a war. I mean, I don't think folks understand this isn't Iraq or even Iran. This is a nuclear power that fought India with 3-to-1 superiority to a standstill. These people will fight, are highly motivated. Tarpley.
I think it's an example of the use of irregular warfare, guerrilla warfare, or terrorism beneath the nuclear threshold. The problem the imperialists who run this country have always had with Pakistan is that they can't attack Pakistan directly because, as you say, it's a nuclear power. You can't have a direct military attack. They can respond. So what you've got to do is this subversion, terrorism, guerrilla warfare, irregular warfare. Below the nuclear threshold, they think, but of course the problem is that it always threatens to jump up above the nuclear threshold. It's also worth remembering the way the United States got in there was by an ultimatum to Pakistan. This was in September, October 2001, right after 9/11. Bush called up the president of Pakistan at the time, Musharraf, and said, guess what? If you don't let us use your country for transit into Afghanistan, we will bomb you. And Musharraf said, okay, fine, you can come in. The U.S. was not invited. They basically invaded Pakistan at that time as well as Afghanistan. So what you've got now is a pattern where the U.S., according to the British press, the United States, the CIA, plus the Indians, the RAW, the RAW, the Research and Analysis Wing, plus the Mossad, have created their own fake counter-gang Taliban inside Pakistan. So it's something that looks like the Taliban. It sounds...
And by the way, at the Mumbai attack, 3 years ago, it later came out in the Chicago Tribune, even mainstream papers, that it was true. A CIA operative commanded the so-called people attacking, and the only patsy they grabbed, this was in AP, was on three different hallucinogens and didn't know who he was. And the head of Indian intelligence said that the West did it, but then he was killed that same day. So that was a black op.
Yes, and that guy, David Headley, has just been on CBS Evening News last night. He's testifying at a trial where he goes through this whole spiel. The Pakistanis did it. The ISI did it. And this is a DEA, CIA agent, informant, whatever he is, telling you all these things. It's crazy. But the Taliban counter gang, now what do they do? You have to look at the pattern of terrorism inside Pakistan is dictated by a military agenda. For example, they kill a Saudi diplomat. When you kill a Saudi diplomat in Pakistan, you're attacking that Saudi-Pakistan axis that was set up by Prince Bandar during his visit to Pakistan at the end of March. They set up this mutual assistance pact, basically. If the U.S. tries to overthrow the Saudi royal family with a color revolution or a putsch, the Pakistanis will send a division of troops to put down the color rebellion. And the other thing is, if the United States threatens the Saudis and says, here, do what we say, or we will feed you to the Iranians, at that point, the Saudis can invoke the Pakistani nuclear umbrella. So this is one of the reasons the United States is so eager to get these Pakistani nukes either destroyed or else seized by the U.S. So if you go after a diplomat, you're attacking that access. Here, the big one, just in the last couple of days, after I wrote this article, there's a big attack on the Faisal Air Force Base in South Pakistan, near the ocean.
Now, that happened yesterday. Stay there. We're going to come back and break down what happened there. Also, the Chinese giving them the 50 high-tech aircraft. What you expect the global engineers to do next, and how their destabilization program's going in Libya. The announcement has now been made. We'll tell you about that coming up.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
By the way, there's several new YouTube special video reports. Get a look at one of our new studios we've built over in the new building next door at Infowars.com. And it is titled TSA Launches Groping at High School Proms, Other Public Places. Key report, terrorists may strike anywhere, so security goons must be everywhere, or so the logic goes. And that's like a new New York law that's been introduced to have all the maids under law wear panic buttons because men might rape them at any minute. So under that logic, if any house in your city ever gets broken into, well, then we must have government security guards in every house. And actually in England, they're actually talking about trying to have cameras in all homes. The Houston police chief did that a few years ago. I mean, it's this idea of we're taking over every facet of your life to keep you safe. Meanwhile, this year so far, how many people have died from tornadoes? Heartland devastation. The latest in the last 2 days, 116 dead. That hospital smashed, x-rays blown 70 miles. Just absolutely incredible. Nearly 500 twister deaths this year. More dangerous days ahead. We're going to go back to Webster here in just a moment, but I just wanted to point out here that government can't keep you safe and won't keep you safe. Look at Katrina. Look at all these other instances. When they tell you they're doing something to keep you safe, it's a joke. It's now come out in the news that Texas, for decades, knew there were high levels of radioactive isotopes in the water and consciously covered it up. Well, no kidding. They add it, one of the ways you get it, through the fluoride. Because they're mining it out of phosphate mines that have high levels of radioactive isotopes. It's incredible. They don't care about you, okay? It's that simple. And it's so crazy to try to tell you they're going to protect you and that they have all these systems to protect you. Going back to Webster to continue with this buildup towards World War III here in just a moment, and we'll look at a bunch of other important news in the Middle East and North Africa, not just in Central and South Asia. First, I want to tell you about eFoodsDirect.com. They have a current buy three, get the fourth free special, super high quality, wide spectrum of different gourmet foods, raw foods, special diets. They've got it all. With all the craziness happening in the world, I believe, and I've got it from them, that we need storable foods, firearms, and to be self-sufficient, water filtration, mainly because of the World War III implications and the Depression situation. But yeah, tornadoes, all the rest of the other reasons. Buy three, get fourth free. This offer is only running, I think, for a few more weeks. They gave me the date. I think it's the middle of next month. But 800-409-5633, 800-409-5633. You'll never stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. eFoodsDirect.com. Banners up on InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And finally, they've got a great new film that's free that I absolutely agree with, dealing with the fraud of the bubble of how much a college education cost. For 2/3 of Americans getting ready to retire, Social Security will be from 50% of their income. For 22% of upcoming retirees, Social Security will be their only income. We will see millions of retired senior citizens reenter the workforce. It will be nearly impossible for upcoming college graduates to find a job in the U.S. Go to inflation.us and click on the video tab to see this breakthrough film for free now. That's inflation.us. Check it out today. And they also authorized us to post it at prisonplanet.tv. It's up there for members at prisonplanet.tv or, again, inflation.us to watch the free film today. Okay, going back to Webster Tarpley, doctor of history, he's also an economist. You broke down 6 months ago, I looked it up, and we wrote articles at the time about it, that the next target would be Pakistan with these secret armies, unconventional warfare. You were getting up to the attack on this secret airbase by Al-Qaeda, very professional going in. We'd been hearing our military run by the globalists, saying they were planning to maybe go into these bases and try to get nukes. Is this a probe to test security by the Al-Qaeda forces that really work for the West? We'll continue along that line, Webster. Please continue.
Well, the most recent event, therefore, is this attack on the Faisal Air Force Base, which is also a naval air station in southern Pakistan. It's as far away from the Taliban homeland as you can get. And the targets that were specifically selected were these Orion anti-submarine aircraft, which seem to be, therefore, the incident seems to be designed to blind the Pakistanis in terms of anti-submarine warfare. So that would mean U.S. submarines, for example, firing cruise missiles while submerged, or Indian submarines firing cruise missiles or other things while submerged could be now have an easier time in getting close to the Pakistani coast. So you look at what are supposed to be sort of blind terrorist actions by Taliban guerrilla fighters operating at a very low level of intelligence, and it seems like the target selection procedure rather mirrors the need of a strategic attack against Pakistan. So therefore, if we look at it, there's a plan revealed by Fox News back in 2009 and now repeated in the London Sunday Express this past Sunday, that the Joint Special Operations Command, when commanded by General Stanley McChrystal, created this plan to seize the Pakistani nuclear forces. The Pakistanis allegedly have 80 intermediate-range ballistic missiles at this Sargodha Air Force Base. This is sort of in the north-central part of the country, not so far from Abbottabad, where the pseudo bin Laden was supposedly finished off. But the 80 nuclear missiles are there, plus the F-16s that can carry nuclear bombs. So the entire plan revolves around a raid, right, a lightning commando attack, an assault with SEALs and so forth on this nuclear complex. And the idea is then go in quickly and disable the Pakistani nuclear weapons. The British say, through the Sunday Express, that they're also part of it. So it would be a joint U.S.-British raid into Pakistan to try to seize and destroy these nuclear forces. Now, that would mean that Pakistan would become relatively defenseless against an attack by India. In the background, this whole time in May, there has been a special drill going on of one of the three Indian assault armies, and it's a blitzkrieg drill, nuclear, bacteriological, and chemical, that's going on in the Thar Desert. This is an area called North Rajasthan, and I'm afraid you're going to have to get as familiar with the geography of Pakistan and India as we've gotten with Iraq over the years. So this is a drill that would be designed to cut Pakistan in half in case of war. And if the Pakistanis don't have nuclear forces, they can't defend themselves. That seems to be what all of this revolves around. Now, the scenario that has been developed is this. It reminds us of this guy Ray Davis, right, the CIA contractor who was accused by the Pakistanis of killing two of their ISI agents and was then expelled after the State Department screamed bloody murder for weeks about this guy. His task, according to the Pakistani media, also according to Russian reports, people like this working for the CIA, and there are 7,000 of them in Pakistan, most of them unknown to the government. What they're up to right now is getting control of atomic materials, right, nuclear waste, stuff for a radiological dirty bomb, or chemical, or bacteriological, biological, and transferring those into the hands of the Taliban, which could very well mean this Taliban counter gang that we've been talking about, this pseudo-Taliban created by the U.S., the Indians, and the Israelis, and then attacking a U.S. post, attacking something, say, in Afghanistan, on that side of the border. That would then be the pretext to say, aha, you Pakistanis are incapable of providing the security for your nuclear forces, therefore we, the U.S., the British, and others are going to seize them.
So that's the scenario. That was the attempt a month ago, again, to claim that the stuff's leaking out and being stolen and given to the al-CIA to people. Now they're saying, oh, look, Taliban's trying to get in to steal it. We've now got to invade or threaten you to hand it over to us because you can't be trusted. Now, here's the big shift I'm seeing. Pakistan has gone from being, you know, basically going under the 10-year-old deal or 9-year-old deal that Pervez Musharraf, the dictator, the admitted Western puppet, put into place. And the old puppet was brought back, Benazir Bhutto. She didn't play ball, so she was executed in the street by Cheney-connected people, according to Pakistani intelligence. Now this is ongoing. And this signifies the fact that Pakistan now realizes they're slated to be broken up regardless. So they're desperately running to people they haven't been friendly with, the Chinese, to some extent the Russians, that they really haven't been friendly with. And so this signifies a massive program of destabilization has been executed. And you dovetail that with this incredible announcement, and this keeps happening, Associated Press, and of course they don't want Ahmadinejad to look weak, so the government's lying, obviously. Blast hits Iranian refinery as Ahmadinejad visits. And so right as he arrives, the plant blows up, an explosion blamed on gas leak. But Bush in 2008 put out a press release, or 2007, admitting that they've got groups and special forces inside there doing this. I mean, that's policy. And an explosion blamed on a gas leak rocked Iran's largest refinery on Tuesday around the time of a visit to the plant by President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. Iranian media reported that up to two people were killed. The blast occurred just before Ahmadinejad was to inaugurate an expansion project of the 400,000 barrel per day. And notice they just signed a deal, Iran did, with Iraq for this natural gas. And No, you're not. It's going to blow up, and we'll do it while Ahmadinejad's there. You dovetail that. I mean, this is this soft kill, low-intensity warfare, unconventional commando-type stuff, where they're really trying to start World War III right now. That is the banks that have hijacked this country. Libya, British attack helicopters to be deployed, seen as the next step to ground invasion. EU lines up resolution to start ground invasion that they promised they wouldn't do. NATO hits Tripoli. U.S. says rebels can open office. Bombing begins of their shipyards. Eight warships sunk 2 days ago. I mean, this is going into high gear, Webster. I mean, are they launching some type of? I mean, this is scary.
I think it shows that the U.S. British ruling elite has gone collectively insane, and that they're in a war psychosis. They're also in an austerity psychosis. They're obsessed with the idea that the dollar and all of their derivatives are going down the drain. And they're in a flight forward. So this is a time of tremendous irrationality. The problem we have is that the general public remains unaware of most of these very, very shocking and very, very disturbing and scary events, primarily because the entire left opposition, so-called peace movement and related people, foundation-funded in particular, have essentially given up on opposing Obama.
They're not opposing. They're cheerleading the wars.
Cheerleading.
But Webster, I mean, let's back off from this for a moment. Look, clearly it's the old thing of ramming the Branch Davidian compound, saying, come out, we're your friends, and the Davidians run out, and the flare footage shows the special forces shooting them, or you watch a Hollywood movie like Mars Attacks, you know, which is a joke on the Pentagon, an archetype with the aliens running around saying, don't run, we're your friends, and the humans come out of their houses, and the aliens laugh and shoot them. Obama comes out and says, we're your friends, Israel, give back the land of the Palestinians, and then a day later says, look, it was all just a psyop. They're saying, don't run, we are your friends. Netanyahu's smiling about all this. It's total theater as they launch the disintegration of the Middle East. I mean, this is hellish what they're doing.
On the other hand, there is a pushback. On June 15th, there will be the meeting of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. And this, of course, is Russia, China, and the five Central Asian former Soviet republics there, ex-Soviet space. And it's also got Iran and India as observers. So if we can say behind Pakistan, there now stands China. We've also had signals from Russia. Medvedev, who is the soft line, he's the weak side of the Russian establishment. In his press conference last week, Medvedev's line was, we face a new Cold War with the United States because of Obama's insistence on building the anti-ballistic missile systems in Romania, Poland, and elsewhere in Eastern Europe. It's a new Cold War.
And notice Obama said a year ago they weren't going to build the missiles. It's all, don't run where your friends, and you lower your guard and they stab you.
He lies. I guess that guy was right, the one who shouted it out. So we also have President Hu of China in meeting with some journalists, looking forward to this meeting of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization at the middle of next month. He said, our relations, Chinese relations with Russia, are at an all-time high. They have never been better. So behind Pakistan stands China. Behind China stands Russia. That's pretty much the breakdown. But also, don't forget this idea of the Pakistan-Saudi alliance that is, I think, very real. It's the cause, it's the immediate reason why this is happening right now in this time frame. And Bandar's Saudi diplomacy with Putin. So it's beginning to coalesce into a coherent block of opposition. I would appeal once again to India. India is very, very ill-advised to stay in this U.S.-India nuclear deal. It simply makes India into cannon fodder. It makes India into the expendable continental dagger of the U.S. and
sure.
The British, a large land power to be used against China, Russia.
And the globalists wreck them even more economically in the process, and then they go into more debt, and the parasitic bankers get America more into debt and bankrupt us more, but we get patriotic in this new giant war the Rand Corporation said they needed 3 years ago in that very area to, quote, get their new world order. Now we're not worried about the global bankers looting us because we're all patriotic because World War III has started. Now, how do you see this program going? What's the globalists' next move then as they gallop forward into this conflagration?
Well, they're very ill-advised. to do so, right? One of the ways you can tell they're really crazy is they want to attack Pakistan even when their supply line goes through Pakistan. The whole invading force inside Afghanistan depends on this port of Karachi, the Khyber Pass, 1,000-mile land corridor, which goes right through the middle of Pakistan. And the Pakistani parliament unanimously voted, stop your predator drone attacks, or we are going to cut that supply line for you. Now, in terms of what's going to happen, again, the scenario, terror events that are directed against U.S. forces or even against the Pakistanis themselves would be used as a pretext for Obama to come out and say, with his unbelievable hypocrisy and condescension, he could say, we see that these Pakistanis are incapable of maintaining the security of their nuclear forces. Therefore, we're going to help them. We're going to give them assistance. And I've ordered the Joint Special Operations Command, and the specific group is called Task Force Orange. Task Force Orange would be that group that did that bin Laden caper, whatever that...
And so the invasion and occupation of the Pakistani bases will be, don't run, we're your friends.
We're your friends.
And
we
if anybody says, don't occupy us, how dare the Pakistanis not let us occupy them? Those savages, oh...
But, of course, most people in the world don't believe this anymore. It would be good if the SCO or people like this came out and denounced this more obviously. But I'm afraid this is where we're going. So the main thing is if these things happen, don't believe them and inoculate your friends, neighbors, your...
No one knows what it's like to be the bad man. To be the sad man behind blue eyes. No one knows what it's like to be hated, to be faded, to telling only lies. But my dreams, they are.
You know, I'm just a guy that lives in Austin, Texas. I got three wonderful children. I love America. Our country's been an engine of good, really, until the 1960s. And I know Tarpley's done an analysis and agrees with that. And we've gone from being this engine of good to really being the heart of this corrupt world government involved in just such duplicitous evil. And it's all being done in our name. And now... our ally, Pakistan, their own governments had to come out and say, Al-Qaeda's run by you, you're staging and all, stop it, don't attack us, and China is standing by to have nuclear war with you if you try, and we've got nukes. I mean, this is a big deal, Webster, to have the Chinese government come out and say an attack on Pakistan's an attack on us. And a lot of good old boys are kind of like, well, let's get in war. It makes me feel manly. Ladies and gentlemen, the Chinese have 1,400,000,000 people. They got thousands of nukes. The traitors that run our country have handed over our infrastructure to them. Russia's not playing games. And look, Russia is not on our border trying to get Mexico to attack us. I mean, the point is, this isn't our government that's doing this. This is this corporate elite, and it's coming to a head. I mean, Webster, there's no doubt they just tried to kill Ahmed Dinajji, blowing up this power plant while he was at it, this gas plant. They're now saying ground forces for Libya, attack helicopters. I mean, can't folks see this is a giant Brzezinskian global destabilization program being launched?
Well, I have the idea that if you go back to the beginning, the time right before World War One, you see something similar. Remember, the Sarajevo assassinations were at the end of June of 1914. The war didn't really get going until the first week of August. So you got this whole month of July 1914. And if you look at the literary materials that have come down to us from that time, you'll see that European public opinion was in a dream. It was in a trance. It was in an elegiac, idyllic mood. They probably sensed subconsciously that something horrendous was about to happen, but this had not yet become conscious for a lot of people. You look at the situation right now, we're closer to a general war than we've been, I guess, since about 2007, since the high point of Bush, Cheney, and the rogue B-52 and the Kenny-Bunkport warning at that time. But right now, we've got the difference is we don't have a peace movement. We don't have any opposition. The people who used to oppose war, they're they're busy denouncing Gaddafi and supporting the attack on Libya, or they're out there saying Obama is a better warmonger than Bush and Cheney. He's more effective. He brings home he gets his man. So this is a terrible situation. So those of us who can understand this, and your listeners in particular, have to do everything possible to wake up public opinion in the United States. We are drifting towards some kind of general war, some kind of horrendous incident, and we've got this lunatic ruling class. We've got a bunch of incompetent, bungling, utopian people. They're perfectly incompetent. They're not in a position to run the affairs of this country, and unfortunately, there's no visible organized alternative. But at least the idea that the situation in the world strategic sense is more serious, more threatening than it has been in the past 3 or 4 years. This idea we have to get across. And above all, don't believe false flag stories when it's pinned on Pakistan or so-called Al-Qaeda, but with the idea that that's really Pakistan.
Yeah, why on earth would Pakistan or anybody else carry out a 9/11 knowing that they would then be invaded and killed and overthrown? It's like, why would somebody jump in front of a truck? It doesn't make sense.
Right.
Look at how they invaded Iraq, saying they were involved in 9/11. Webster, let's shift gears and get into Dominique Strauss-Kahn.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
There's a reason old-timers built storm cellars in the Midwest and east of many other areas, tornadoes. 500 deaths this year so far, 116 dead in Joplin. Deadliest in half a century. Obama says he'll get around to visiting on Sunday. And the storm track, it's up at drudgereport.com. We'll also get a link to the storm track up on Infowars.com. Live alert where it's moving towards a Minneapolis liquor store got hit and then got looted. Just a lot of bizarre news coming out on that front. That preacher that said the world would end last Saturday, he didn't mean May 21st. He meant October 21st. This guy's got to be getting paid for this stuff. I mean, this is just ridiculous. Webster, finishing up, what do you think of the Dominique Strauss-Kahn? I'm no fan of the globalists. I'm no fan of this guy. But more and more, they released Sarkozy's top spin doctor and campaign people released on Twitter before he was even arrested. The police had said they had the DNA evidence or that had been leaked. Now it's admitted they don't have DNA evidence. Kahn, I know, had said the end of the dollar was near. I mean, what's going on here from your intel?
It is the CIA attack on the euro, and we need to remember that all last year, all of 2010, was consumed with the U.S., the CIA, Goldman Sachs, this idea dinner at Moness, Crespi, and Hart that was reported in the Wall Street Journal. The attack on the euro. You can't make the dollar look good, but what you can do is make the euro look very, very bad. You can attack Greece. You can attack Portugal, Ireland, Spain, other countries. You can use credit default swaps for economic warfare. Try to export the depression from the U.S. to Europe. So Strauss-Kahn, now he's the head of the IMF. He wants to be president of France. So his task was to keep the euro together until he could become president of France, minimally that. That would mean something that the U.S. Wall Street, and of course Wall Street runs the CIA, couldn't accept. So they had to launch some kind of an attack. What it shows, by the way, is the desperation of imperialism. They're knocking over assets that they've used for 10, 20, 30 years, right? They put 15 years of work into building the bin Laden myth. Now they announce he's dead. They have Mubarak in power for 30 years. Then they decide to overthrow him. The power-sharing deal on the International Monetary Fund is really about 60 years old, 60 to 65 years old. It's that traditionally the head of the World Bank is from the U.S. and the head of the IMF is from Europe. And Europe has meant about half of the time, I think we've had four French bosses of the IMF, one German. So that's about almost half of the 12 IMF heads. You've also had people from countries like the Dutch or Sweden or other places. But generally, it tended to gravitate toward France, Germany, the two leading countries on the continent. So that's a power-sharing agreement. That basically says we're going to merge the old European imperialisms with this Anglo-American.
But as you said several years ago, this meltdown of the global financial system instituted by the megabanks, they intend to come out on the end completely dominant, and so that this this upheaval would be purposefully accelerated during this period, and we're entering this incredible period of dangerous change.
But it also shows it's really not globalism. It's really Anglo-American, U.S., British imperialism. There's no place at the table for anybody who's going to represent a French interest or a German interest or a European interest. First, it was going to be stop with the Europeans, now get a third world puppet. Get somebody from the developing sector. Get some British agent from someplace in Africa or something like this. Now it seems to be this woman Lagarde, and Lagarde is the most Britishized, Americanized in the whole French government. If Strauss-Kahn was lonely, he could have called up the Elliot Spitzer dating service. It absolutely makes
Webster,
no sense.
Webster, great job. Tarpley.net. Your story's up at Infowars.com. Thank you for tracking
the
buildup to World War III. Thank you, Webster. We'll be right back with our next guest, Dr. Jerome Corsi, on the latest issue with the birth certificate.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, we've got some big breaking news with Dr. Jerome Corsi, his PhD from Harvard University Political Science. He currently is a senior staff reporter for WorldNet Daily, where he works as investigative reporter. Of course, in 2004, he co-authored the number one New York Times bestseller, Unfit for Command, Swift Boat, Veterans Speak Out Against John Kerry, Regnery. He's an expert on political violence and terrorism. In 81, he received the top secret clearance from the Agency of International Development, where he assisted in providing anti-terrorism training to embassy personnel. For 25 years, beginning in 81, Dr. Corsi developed work with banks throughout the United States and around the world to develop financial service marketing companies to assist banks in establishing broker-dealers and insurance subsidiaries to provide financial planning products and services to their retail customers. Now, I like to have Dr. Corsi on about the whole banking scam, the bailout, the criminality. We need to have him back soon on those issues. And Dr. Corsi is always very careful. And so when he writes a book saying, where's the birth certificate? By the way, available at Infowars.com if folks want to get it. Excellent hard copy with all the exhibits and documents. You find out this guy isn't who he says he is. He's covering up his history. They released that other birth certificate receipt, said that was the long form. Nothing else existed. Governor Abercrombie couldn't find it when he went into the stacks and tried to. Then magically it appeared. Then breaking here last Friday, Dr. Corsi went over the fact that he believes he knows who did it, and that now he's going to move to file criminal charges. And that news is up on PrisonPlanet.com today in Paul Joseph Watson's article. It's also at Infowars.com and WorldNetDaily.com. He sent me the actual Kenyan government documents where they admit that they can't find it and appears the record has been altered or removed. Yeah, he went to Kenya, of course, to start ferreting out this information. And when he comes out and says, this is a fake, it's been altered, our people looked at it, we had other experts look at it, it's been altered. Again, I've not been a big birther. I've had other issues to cover. But we've spent time looking at it over the years because they spent over $2 million at the White House blocking releasing what they've now released. Now, we're going to go over all the latest news with Dr. Corsi for the balance of the hour. But before we go there, last week on this radio broadcast, he called out Donald Trump, who's a big Democratic contributor, big eminent domain supporter, socialist healthcare supporter. As Lou Rockwell and others have pointed out, if this guy's a conservative, you know, the seediness of the penny stocks, the seediness of the casinos, I mean, we might as well hire, well, I'm not going to get into it. The point is that Donald Trump is a joke. And with all this slick salesman talk, America's like, we like him. Conservatives, a lot of them, we want him. He did this birth certificate thing. He brought it to a head. Then he kind of floundered around and acted embarrassed. Then he came out and did a bunch of cussing tirades he's never done before, tailored to discredit. And then magically he gets the $60 million NBC re-up contract with bailout money from Bush, then Obama going to NBC. That's on record. So, of course, he calls him out boldly. Well, Donald had called him twice, wanting the book before it was published. He got it to him. We wonder where that went. And now he's got all his casino deals in Chicago, and Rahm's their man in Chicago. And so, of course, he calls this out. Well, the Donald called him today. This is breaking here. The Donald called today. The Donald's concerned. Dr. Corsi, thank you for joining us. Please reveal to us your discussion with the Donald.
Yes, Alex. In fact, I just got off the phone with him a few minutes ago. Donald Trump called today, and of course, he, as usual, is pumping me for information. He wants very much to know what I'm doing next. And I said, well, you know, Donald, we published an article in World Net Daily, you should have seen it, about how the Kenyan government searched for 1961 birth records and determined that 1961 birth records were criminally tampered to destroy evidence of Obama's birth. He said, well, I didn't see that. I said, well, give me your people. I'll send it to you. He said, well, that's all right. I'll look for it. I mean, he is completely uninterested except to know, you know, what I'm doing, what's next. I indicated to Donald Trump, and this may be breaking news, too, now the criminal charges, we're working with a top expert in scanners, worldwide expert, who is preparing, will be reporting on it in WND, World Net Daily, hopefully the end of the week, maybe Monday or Tuesday at the latest. Criminal charges are going to be filed, criminal complaints filed with the FBI, charging that the long-form birth certificate released by the White House on April 27th is fraudulent. And I've been working back and forth with the expert on that. I've read the charges. They're very credible. They're going to be very difficult to answer. I told Donald Trump that's coming. So Trump, you know, if he's feeding information to the White House, he certainly knows what I'm doing, and I'm not hesitating to tell him. I'm happy to let the White House know what I'm doing. I published Where's the Birth Certificate with that title, hoping I could get the White House so frightened that they would release this long-form birth certificate, which they did. The president has now endorsed his own involvement in the chain of evidence, saying he sent his attorney out to get it, coming down to the White House press room and saying, this is my birth certificate. Now the administration rises and falls on the authenticity of that document. So Donald Trump, I think, I told Donald, I said, look, Donald, if you want to be credible here, I mean, told him basically he didn't accuse me or you know, badger me for saying that I thought he was working with the Obama White House, but I said, told him out direct, you know, if you don't want people to be suspect, Donald, of what role you're playing in this, then get out there vocally, question the document, say you want forensic testing of the original paper, long-form document that's in the vault of the Hawaii Department of Health, say you want the Dr. Sinclair's records released, see if Ann Dunham was a patient, and say you want the records of Kapilani Hospital released so we can see if Ann Dunham was ever there. Family changed their tune. It was originally that Obama was supposed to be born at Queens Hospital. Now it's Kapilani. Let's see the patient records for Ann Dunham. Trump didn't seem interested in any of that, but he was very interested in knowing what I was up to next.
All right. I want to pump you on the Trump issue because we can get some key intel out of that. But for internet viewers at prisonplanet.tv, this is all linked up in your WorldNet Daily story. Also, Paul Joseph Watson's story at PrisonPlanet.com if radio listeners want to see it. But for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers, I'll show folks a document cam shot. Here is one of several documents that you sent to me a few days ago. Now your report's out today. Republic of Kenya, Office of the Vice President, Ministry of State for Immigration and Registration of Persons. This is the classified document you got them to release. And it says, however, there is no evidence within our records that supports this position. The information we in the ministry have is that some documents have been removed by unknown persons at unknown dates or are missing from birth registry records, thus denting the prospects of uncovering the facts of this matter. So it goes on that they're saying that numerous intelligence reports have suggested he might have been born in Mombasa, the President Obama, at the Lady Greg maternity wing of the Coast Provincial General Hospital. And they go on the letterhead of the government with the phone numbers there and say that it's been removed. It's been tampered with.
Criminally.
Criminally. They go on to say it's criminal. So this is a pretty powerful smoking gun here. And then if I was Donald Trump and you went on this big syndicated radio show and dropped the bombshell and it was read by millions of people all over the web, our stories, our videos, went completely viral with that interview with you last week. And then Donald Trump calls you up Tuesday. And if I was innocent and you were saying that I worked for the president and I was Donald Trump, or that I was conduiting info months ago when you gave me the book, if I was Donald Trump, I'd say, Corsi, how dare you, pal? Or if I was guilty, I would just, ignore it. Or if I was innocent, I'd probably ignore it. I mean, those are the different things you would do. You wouldn't call up and just pump for more info and be nice. That's a pretty creepy phone call you got. Can you describe what Donald Trump said to you, how long the conversation was, how he behaved?
Well, the conversation lasted about 15 minutes, and Donald Trump was friendly. He was, did not confront me aggressively that I said I think he's working for the Obama White House. I've been out there on your show, Alex, very publicly about that. And Trump was saying, his purpose of the call was he wanted to know what I was doing, what was next. Is the story going to get any traction? And I told him about the documents from Kenya that we've been publishing in WorldNet Daily. The documents, I was there in Kenya in 2008. I've continued to receive documents from Kenyan sources. You see some of them right now. You're reporting on them. We've reported WorldNet Daily criminal tampering of birth records in the 1961 birth records in Kenya to disguise or remove Barack Obama's birth records in Kenya. So I thought that was an explosive story. Trump wasn't real interested in it. I told him the criminal charges are going to be filed with the FBI by a top expert. Again, Trump was interested in that, but I said to him, he went back and forth and said, Mr. Trump, are you going to get back into the story? I told him, said, people are saying, you got this big payoff from NBC. It sure looks like you dropped out over that payoff in relationship with the White House. And Trump said, even when you're as rich as I am, it's $60 million times two, $120 million isn't chump change. I said, well, I understand that, Mr. Trump. Nobody's offered me $120 million recently. But you can understand where a lot of people think that compromises your position, maybe why you dropped out. He said, well, I didn't drop out. I said that the documents, I still want to know if the documents are real. Said, Mr. Trump, if you're not out there aggressively demanding that these documents be authenticated, then in fact people are going to say you dropped out conveniently in your work. I even told him your criticism on Fox News of the Republican candidate sounds like you're carrying Obama's water, saying the Republican candidates are so poor you may have to jump back in the race. Is that your message, or is that the message of the Obama White House?
Stay there, Dr. Corsi. Let's continue to look at this. For those that don't understand how media works, let's look exactly why Trump is a suspect. We'll be right back. All right, going right back to Dr. Jerome Corsi, author of the book, Where's the Birth Certificate? You look at Donald Trump and you study how media works. We had this stewing birther movement gaining steam every month, the polls going up and up and up to where a majority of Americans, Republicans and Democrats, questioned his providence. And that was a big problem. So Trump comes out, builds it to a head, and then right as it comes to a head, there's the big media spectacular to discredit the whole thing. And then we saw the next big stunt a few weeks later to then wipe that controversy off the map. Obama daringly gets Osama bin Laden. He's just so wonderful. And then that launches the next phase of starting a war with Pakistan. And the fact that Trump comes out and says, Ron Paul can't win. And look at these Republicans, they're pathetic. And the fact that he's given 2-1 to Democrats and hangs out in New York with Bloomberg and Schumer. I mean, it's so obvious that this guy, from my perspective, is a ringer. And you've got this government money going to NBC and then right into Trump's pocket, and that ridiculous preening peacock show, The Apprentice. And then he's on the phone with you wanting to know what you're going to do next. Very bizarre, Jerome Corsi. I mean, if you're a discredited kook, and he's been discredited, you think he would be fighting to continue to expose, but instead he wants to lay there like a possum.
Well, I said to Trump today on the telephone, I said, look, get involved. If you want people to believe that, you know, you're still on the side of disbelieving Obama, then ask for authentication. We have, nobody's seen the original document. In a court of law, the best evidence would not be this electronic birth certificate the White House released. Electronic birth certificates didn't even exist in 1961. The best evidence is in the vault in the Department of Health in Hawaii, the original birth certificate, if it exists. And we can't see that. We can't get it subjected to forensic analysis. Said Mr. Trump pressed that case. He seemed uninterested. He said, you know, if it got to be an issue again, he would jump back in. I said, well, Mr. Trump, jump back in now. And, you know, he said, well, do you have any mainstream media supporting it? I said, you know, as far as I'm concerned, Mr. Trump, I've run these campaigns before when I did Unfit for Command with John O'Neill and Swift Boat Betts, published by myself, Obama Nation, 2008. It was number one bestseller for a month. Didn't have a lot of support. Then New York Times ran a front page article blasting the book. I said, I'm not counting on any mainstream media, and I'm not expecting to get invited to the White House Christmas party. But said, Mr. Trump, neither should you be expecting to get invited to the White House Christmas party. Get out there and pound this issue if you want people to believe that you're really on the side of wanting the truth and asking for where's the birth certificate. Go on the record. You don't believe that this is legitimate, say it's a fraud. He wouldn't do it. He was unenthusiastic and not responsive when I made those suggestions.
Well said. For me, the biggest piece of evidence here, and I know
and,
as
and
a...
also, Alex, he asked me to call him before we made our next move so he'd know what we were doing. I mean, the whole call was, what are you up to? And please tell me first before you do it. Now, I mean, I'm happy to talk to Trump. I'm happy to tell him what I'm doing.
Did he comment on the fact that you've called him out?
No, he never made a comment about it. Didn't say a word.
But you brought that up to him.
Well, I didn't say I'm out there saying it. I made the charge to him. I said, Mr. Trump, if you don't get out, I said, Donald, really? We're kind of on a first-name basis at this point. I said, Donald, look, if you don't get out there and start doing this, nobody's going to believe that you're really opposing Obama. It looks like you're supporting Obama. Said, I told him that even with... I saw him on Fox News, I believe it was yesterday, Trump is saying, attacking the Republican candidates, saying he's going to get back in the race if the Republicans keep with such lousy candidates. I said, that sounds like Obama's line. Are you feeding Obama's line to the American people? He said, well, they are lousy candidates. I said, look, if you're going to attack the other Republicans, you're not going to get anywhere convincing people that you want to run as a Republican. Trump said, well, should I run as an independent? I said, Mr. Trump, if you run as an independent, you're going to 100% convince everybody that you're in cahoots with Obama, trying to split the vote of the Republicans so that the Obama wins.
Said, look, that casino Obama? Owner, that good old boy, good fella, knows exactly.
Of course.
Exactly what he's doing. Now this was a short segment, long segment coming up, and I want to preface this question now and then come back and have you answer it. For me, I think one of the biggest pieces of evidence you've got of this being fraud is not just the Kenyan government saying their records were tampered with criminally and expunged on Obama, and that their intelligence agency does have intel that he was born there. Bigger than that is that you were told 3 weeks before by a source inside the government of Hawaii that it wasn't there, now it's there. And you say you have the email evidence with Joseph Farah telling him that. That's not giving up a source. You need to release all that.
If you leave me, I won't miss you. And won't ever take you back. Girl, your memory.
Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. We are here live. Back Sundays, 4 to 6 p.m. Central.
I got some.
And if you believe that Obama is telling us the truth about his true identity and his history, we know he's been caught in lies repeatedly, and I guess you want to buy some oceanfront property in Arizona. To quote George Strait, we're going back to Dr. Jerome Corsi, author of Birth Certificate. Where's the birth certificate? Here in just a moment. First, some of our great sponsors. Interfood is a revolutionary 100% organic green superfood that's been a sponsor of ours, I don't know, for 6 years now. Energy drink with powerful nutrition for better health, energy, mental clarity, and immune system support. My wife just loves it. It was even voted best superfood by our friend Mike Adams from Natural News because it's composed of nearly 50% chlorella, spirulina, kelp, and dulse. It also is high in naturally occurring iodine, which is just so good for the entire body. Give them a call today at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238, or visit them on the web at innerfood.com, E-N-E-R-food.com. Continuing, purewaterfreedom.com. I just love these folks. They've got whole house, tabletops, water bottles that are filters. They've got the whole nine yards. If you want to affordably remove fluoride from your tap water, visit purewaterfreedom.com. They have a full line of household fluoride filters. You can even remove fluoride from every water source in your home with a whole house fluoride system. All their filters are made in the USA. Check out their banners at prisonplanet.com or infowars.com, or go to purewaterfreedom.com today to take control of your water supply at purewaterfreedom.com. That's one word. Okay, and in closing here with the plugs, remember, the alternative media is financed by your support. The establishment has done everything they can to kill this book, because where there's smoke, there's fire. And this book deals with his entire bizarre background and all of the weirdness and just the, I mean, the tranny nannies, the all the different names, the different daddies. It's now come out that his purported dad, the State Department wanted to get him out of the country because of all the fake marriages and pregnancies and women, and he looks nothing like his father. Dr. Corsi's broken all that down. The book, Where's the Birth Certificate? The Case That Barack Obama Is Not Eligible to Be President. And remember, I'm nonpartisan. I don't like Bush. I don't like Obama. I don't like any of these New World Order corporate front men. The point is, this guy's got something he's hiding, and he's got that snake coiled up around him with this whole con on the public with Donald, the Donald Trump. So I hope you get the book, Where's the Birth Certificate, at Infowars.com, and check out all the other books and videos we carry and the films that I produce. You can also call us toll-free to get it, 888-253-3139. Before you answer my big question, because I want to recap it for folks that just joined us, Dr. Corsi, where are you guys at WorldNet Daily, Joseph Farah? Where is WND.com with the economic warfare attack that the White House mouthpiece Esquire put out, saying the book had been recalled, Farah had said it was all lies and discredited, and that everybody should send their books back and you'd give them their retail price back that would bankrupt you guys, to try to create a run on the bookstores of people demanding their money back so they pull the book? How badly economically has it hurt you guys? I mean, it was a number one New York Times bestseller before it came out. How much damage has this done to the book?
Well, I think, first of all, if the attack was vicious by Esquire, and it was intended to destroy the marketing of the book in the first hours. Esquire later said it's satire, and it wasn't very funny. And certainly didn't appear as satire. It appeared as a news story, and you could reasonably read it and have been fooled by it. Some radio hosts that interviewed me were fooled by it and started out their interviews asking why we pulled the book. Look, WorldNet Daily is going to sue Esquire. Joseph Harris announced that. So the economic damage had to have been important and severe. Certainly the intent to damage was important and severe. WorldNet Daily will do just fine. The book is selling, but we had to scramble very hard to reestablish the market and to reassure distributors that the book had not been pulled. The book is alive and well. It's out there everywhere in bookstores. All the electronic outlets are selling the book. It's still rated on Amazon.com. Take a look. It's out active all through the market. And it was a vicious attack by Esquire aimed at, you know, I guess projecting what the White House wanted to believe what was true. I think the White House hoped the book would be withdrawn. But I published this book with Joseph Farah because I knew he had the courage to keep the book out there. A mainstream media publisher, one of the big publishing houses, and I've published with big publishing houses before, the White House might have intimidated them by calling up and, you know, threatening not to give them access to authors or whatever to get a major publishing house to withdraw the book. But this case, I knew that there was no chance it would happen. Joseph Farah was as resolute as I am that the book is true. We still want to know where the birth certificate is, and we're taking every possible step to demonstrate Obama was not born in Hawaii. He was born in Kenya. I'm convinced of that now. And here you've got a situation where the birth certificate released by the White House is a fraudulent document, which means criminal fraud was committed in the White House. President Obama is personally identified in the chain of evidence, and he sent his lawyer out to get this document. President Obama showed up in the White House press room to say, here the document is. He's directly involved in the chain of evidence. And the White House, the future of the Obama presidency, will depend on that document remaining authentic. If it's proved, as I believe it will be, the document's fraudulent, it's hard to see how the Obama administration will remain in office.
Well, this is only getting bigger, and people don't buy anything that the White House puts out there. And I know you're under such attack, Jerome, but you normally, you know, will tell folks what your dead reckoning says. But isn't it suspicious that right on the heels of them with the stunt birth certificate that is as phony as a $3 bill, and you're coming out with the evidence and going to file these criminal charges, that then magically they kill Osama bin Laden, but then the helicopter blows up, and eyewitnesses in Pakistan on national Pakistani TV say the SEALs got on the helicopter and it blew up, that it didn't blow up once on the ground. It blew up as they took off. I mean, that's this whole thing. You can just see the scripting and the White House lying, saying they were in the Situation Room watching the raid, Hillary covering her mouth. They admit that was fake. They admit bin Laden didn't fight back, didn't use his wife, throw the body in the sea. Within minutes, they said, we have the DNA proof. It takes days to do it. I mean, Doc, do you not have some suspicions there? You're not going to cross that bridge.
Well, I just haven't gone into the OBL situation. I've got my hands full with the birth certificate issue. But, you know, what I'm going to comment on is that here for 3 years, Obama spent a couple million dollars with lawyers. He even moved his lawyer from Perkins Coy into the White House to be his White House counsel. And that, to me, is very suspicious, fighting the release of this birth certificate. And then a book is going to be published. So if this document was available 3 years ago, why did we have to go through all this nonsense about the certification of live birth and the short form? The attorney, Robert Bauer, together with Anita Dunn, his wife, it was the attack dog against Fox and any other media that dared to raise questions about the Obama administration. They're now paid by the White House. Anita Dunn is gone. Bauer's still there under the government payroll defending Obama in eligibility cases. And suddenly this document miraculously appears, long-form birth certificate, that Abercrombie, the governor in Hawaii, said wasn't there about 6 weeks ago. He couldn't find it. Well, that's where, to go to the comment you asked about, Alex, before the break, I got a call from one of my top intelligence sources in Hawaii that warned me that the document had been forged and inserted into the logbook in Hawaii. In fact, a person who was very connected in the department went in, related to the department, let's say didn't work for the department, but a source, let's say married to the department, went in and read us the document. I knew it was Kapi'olani Hospital. I knew it was the doctor was named. I didn't know Dr. Sinclair's name. The person who went in and read it was so frightened by what was seen, they ran out of there about as fast as they could, but enough information came forward that we knew the document had been forged.
All right, let me stop you. This is such a big deal that I want to put the question back out there, and I'm not like the type of talk show host unless I really am shocked, but already knew about this info, so I'm not shocked. I've already, had the revelation. Now listen up. This is big. Folks, understand the magnitude of this. But all of that is a prerequisite here. You're somebody who's always very careful about what you say and do, going back for decades. You're somebody who really does do the research. You're coming out saying there's no doubt it's fraudulent. You're going forward saying you're going to attempt to file criminal charges on this, and you revealed here for the first time last week that you have a source who 3 weeks before the president went public went in, was able to see it, and said it wasn't there before. Your source inside, your mole, it's been added now. You have the emails with Farah proving that these discussions went on. You can't give up the source, but you've got the proof with your Farah emails. And Farah says, what do we do? And you say, let's go ahead with it. This is exactly what we want, Joe. We've got him now. Now, I'm paraphrasing what you said last week. Take your time. Walk through exactly what happened 3 weeks before Obama released the latest long-form supposed final real birth certificate and what the new intelligence source the new information that the intelligence source is giving you. Because, folks, I mean, what Dr. Corsi's saying here, they could have a grand jury come after him. He could be pulled into court. He could be forced to release this. He wouldn't be doing this right now if this wasn't true and going on. So I hope you understand, we're now entering the realm of total proof, not just that he fought it for 3 years with 2 million, moved the lawyer into the White House who was fighting it, stonewalling, saying with his operatives, Mr. Maddow and Mr. Slimeball, that this is the birth certificate 2.5 years ago. I mean, just desperate activity on their side. The thing stinks to high heaven. The Republic of Kenya classified document release that, yes, the Obama records have criminally been removed. There's evidence he was born in Mombasa. I mean, here it is. He's releasing it. Of course, he wouldn't be doing this now if he didn't 100% think he had the bona fides. So slowly go over your mole inside as much as you can give us. And when are you going to have Farah come out and substantiate this verbally, swear to it publicly? I believe you. You wouldn't be doing this.
I did even more than that. I'll give you the exact chronology. It was just before February 24th. I got a call from my source in Hawaii and said that someone had gone into the logbook, a very trusted bowl, and the long-form birth certificate for Obama had suddenly appeared and was inserted in the book, read it enough to know that Kapiolani Hospital was identified as the hospital, knew a doctor was listed, didn't have time or was too scared to get the name of the doctor. Now, on February 24th, I'm looking at it right now, I drafted an article. It's date-stamped February 24th at my computer. I could send it to you, Alex, as proof. The article was written, says, WND warned to block possible future release of fraudulent Obama birth records. And this is February 24th. It's date-stamped this way in my Microsoft Word file.
So you even wrote a story that you didn't release.
We didn't. We decided not to release it because we hoped the White House would release this document. See, we named the book Where's the Birth Certificate to try to frighten the White House. I knew the White House could not tolerate if anybody read this book. People read this book, Obama.
And their hopes that they had released it was falling through, and so you forced them out in the open.
Yeah, and I knew that Joseph said, we're not going to publish this story, tipping them off that we know a fake document has now been created. Let's get them to release the document.
You've got to release that original story.
I'll send it to you. It's date stamped February 24th. You can see in the log to this, I created the story on February 24th.
Okay, but I don't want to publish it first if it's WorldNet.
You can publish it first. If you want to, I'll talk to Joseph. Maybe we can do a story on it immediately, but
See my point. The fact that that's the proof,
yes,
that you knew this was going on before it happened. Man, this is big.
The paragraph of this story is WorldNet Daily has been warned that certain government officials in Hawaii have been contemplating releasing fraudulent Obama birth records that WND knows it has in its possession information that will be able to prove the forgery. We had information that will prove the forgery. See, even when I wrote this February 24th...
Unbelievable.
I knew they were going to release it, and I knew we could prove it was a forgery.
Unbelievable.
And we didn't publish this article because we didn't want to tip off the White House that we knew they were going to release the fraudulent document that we could prove it was a forgery. I'll send you the article.
Well, we need to... Absolutely. If you send it to us, I'll have one of my writers do a report on it right now, and then you can follow up or vice versa. I don't care. But for me, and I'm asking you if you agree, Dr. Corsi, that is such incredible proof that you had the intel inside and that you knew it was coming just a few weeks before and had this article ready. I think you should write a breakdown explaining why you guys didn't release it.
Let me read you what else I wrote. Originally, they were planning to release the fraudulent birth certificate in the run-up to the 2012 presidential election. We took away one of their October surprises. Joseph and I said, let's make this book, Where's the Birth Certificate, so explosive that they have to release this now. I want to read you these two paragraphs quickly. WorldNet Daily's confidential source further warned that any fraudulent Obama birth records originating in Hawaii will be sufficiently expert that the forgery can only be detected by forensic examination of the original, possibly not from digitized copies or photographs circulated of the forgery on the Internet. It turned out that the forgery was much poorer than we thought it would be, and we have enough, even with the digitized copy the White House released on its website, to prove it's a forgery. The next paragraph, WorldNet Daily cannot release the identity of the confidential source without risking the person's life.
Unbelievable. Now, again, read us for those that have not seen the unpublished a report that you had ready, but Farah and you decided not to release so that you could catch them with their pants down. Read us that headline and as much of the story as you can to us.
The headline said, WorldNet Daily warned to block possible future release of fraudulent Obama birth records. And WorldNet Daily has been warned that certain government officials in Hawaii have been contemplating releasing fraudulent Obama birth records, and that WorldNet Daily has in its possession information that will be able to prove the forgery. According to a top-level WorldNet Daily confidential source with access to officials within the Hawaiian government, the long-form birth certificates issued to the Nordyke twins one day after Barack Obama was born create a barrier for anyone attempting to produce a fraudulent long-form Kapiolani hospital-generated birth certificate for Obama. What I'm referring to there is we knew that they were going to continue the document as 10641, and which was registered August 8th. 3 days later, the Nordyke twins were registered August 11th. They were 10637 and 10638. From the time of the certificate of live birth, the forger picked the wrong number. They've been locked into that to the beginning. And what my source in Hawaii said is, press the Nordyke numbers, because that shows that anything fraudulent that the Obama administration releases is the long-form birth certificate. As long as it's got the original 10641 on it, it's a fraudulent document.
For those that don't know, that was a big old-fashioned numbering machine.
Bates numbering machine. One of those Bates automatic machines that incremented by one. And I have the 1955 article from Charles Bennett, who was the guy who created, he was the Registered General of Hawaii's Department of Health. He created the system of birth certificates. The article specifies that the birth certificates were numbered immediately after the Registrar General stamped it. It went into the books with the number he stamped. It's impossible for a birth certificate that was registered 3 days earlier to have a higher number as a birth certificate than birth certificates registered 3 days later.
Well, I'm just speechless right now. And not only did you write this 3 weeks before Obama released the birth certificate, you called everything in the article that was unpublished. What happened? This is incredible.
We had the document read to us from within the vault in Hawaii. The person went in and read the article, and we knew what it was on the document because it was read to us.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but this is the absolute key. Your same mole previously had said it's not there, but now they call
That's
you
right.
and they go, suddenly it's there.
That's right. We've been told when Abercrombie was looking that it didn't exist, and then it suddenly existed.
And that's confirmed by Abercrombie thinking he's off record with the reporter who kept the recorder going and just added it as a footnote in his article that Abercrombie said, yeah, we thought it'd be there. It's not.
And I think this is equally important to what we've released. You've got the Kenyan documents there, Kenyan government stationery. Grandma Sarah has been saying for years Obama was born in Kenya. Kenya. The Kenyan government took it seriously. Kenyan government determined 1961 birth records in Kenya were criminally altered so as to erase Barack Obama's birth certificate records and to disguise the fact that they'd ever been there.
Well, I'm going to say this.
They reported, you got the second document. The Kenyan government even told that to Ranenberger, our ambassador in Kenya under George W. Bush, was inquiring about Obama's birth certificates. George Bush administration had reason to think Obama was born in Kenya. Not just recently, it goes back to George W. Bush inquiring through Ranenberger to the Kenyan government as to whether Obama was born there. And the Kenyan government sending back a response to the, formally to Rand, those are the documents you've got in your hand, saying, we don't have Obama's birth record, but we have reason to think it was criminally destroyed.
Yeah, here's the request from the U.S. ambassador for President George W. Bush on birth records for Senator Barack Hussein Obama. Now we're learning that this was being taken so seriously even then that the Republican leadership, the president, was looking at it. Here's the other document. When they went to try to find it, it had been criminally removed. I mean, when you look at this, no one, knowing this was going on, would not release the long form, instead spend $2 million, move the lawyer that's on the case into the White House. They've been haunted by this. They've been terrorized. Instead, they have that joke, that fraud, Slimeball Matthews, Mr. Maddow, all of them, I mean, Rachel Maddow, sorry, get up there and say, this is the birth certificate. There's no such thing as a long form, insulting Americans' intelligence. Then we get the long form. It looks like it was made in Crayola. And then now, oh, my, I mean, this is so huge, Dr. Corsi.
It is huge. And, you know, I've had sources in Kenya, continuing to today. I've had sources in Hawaii. I've hired private investigators. I've been working with intelligence experts on the islands in Hawaii. I've been given the inside track on this story from the very beginning. And now even you've got the Immigration and Naturalization Service file on Barack Obama Sr. verifying what I've said from the beginning, and that was they never were married. It was a sham marriage from the beginning. Ann Dunham had been frequenting Bill Lederer's bar on Hotel Street in Honolulu. She got pregnant. She wanted Barack Obama to be the father. Barack Obama wasn't interested. Ann Dunham flew off by herself to convince the family in Kenya she should be the princess. That's the story.
Incredible. And then Harvard comes out and confirms it. The State Department confirms it. All these wives, fake marriages, babies everywhere. I mean, any moron, that's what they say in Kenya. Obama looks nothing like his daddy.
And also you've got the Immigration Naturalization Service files rejected Obama's marriage to Ann Dunham as grounds on which he could be extending his stay in the United States because it was a sham marriage. They couldn't find a marriage certificate like I can't. The two never lived together. Like I pointed out, even the birth announcement was the grandparents' birth announcement. They weren't entirely convinced the baby was Obama Sr.'s to begin with.
Doc, we're almost out of time. You would not put yourself out on a limb. If you were lying, they would try to trump something up. The White House has already arrested members of the press for whistleblowing, now calling it espionage. You are in danger. You are politically being assassinated. They're trying to assassinate your character. They're pulling out all the stops through their surrogates with dirty tricks to destroy the book. They are acting like people who are 100% guilty. Then any examination of the evidence shows they've been covering up and are desperate. And
I want people to read the book. That's the thing. They're trying. The White House knows that the American people reads my book, Where's the Birth Certificate? The case Barack Obama is not eligible to be president. Barack Obama will be removed from office. He's not eligible to be president. I prove it. And what's so damaging about the work I do is in the book, you'll see 125 exhibits and glossy pages. I show you my original documentation.
And it's all available at InfoWars.com if folks want to support all the work we're doing here. Dr. Corsi, I know more is coming up soon. If you send me the WorldNet Daily article,
You'll have it as soon as we're finished.
All right, well, we'll put it up. Just give me the green light, and I'll do it with a link to all your reportage at WMD.com. But in closing, where are you planning to try to file criminal charges?
It's I'm going to report on it. I decided that the expert will file the charges himself, and I'll report on it. The charges are, the expert is a top scanner expert worldwide. He's going to file the charges this week. I'm writing up the report hopefully for this week or next week. I've got a lot of radio, but we're working on it. The WorldNet Daily staff is aware of it. We're working on doing the report. And criminal charges filed with the FBI that the long-form birth certificate released by the White House on April 27th is a fraud.
Unbelievable. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're working with WorldNet Daily because clearly the White House is trying to destroy them with this mega dirty trick out of Esquire saying the book was recalled and they admitted it was all discredited. And that hoax is still going around. I see it on the blogs and websites. Aha, the book's been recalled. It was done very nastily. And regardless of what you think of this issue, they've been covering up. But now, Dr. Corsi on record with a mole. This guy's got a lot of credibility. He would not go out on this limb. A mole inside with a time-stamped date that they wrote a WorldNet Daily article back on. I've got the date, February 23rd here. With this information, he's sending me the article. We're going to post it with a blurb at the top at Infowars.com in the next hour or so. Then I'm going to shoot a video dealing with all of this. We'll get that up. But this is such important information. In closing, Dr. Corsi, we've only got about 4 minutes left. Walk through the criminal charges, the top scanning forger expert, as much as you can tell us. You say it may take a week or two. I'm telling you, this is so big, you better not get on any airplanes, and I hope that forger expert is being safe, because I believe you, and I also will tell you, I think you're in danger. Are you watching your back?
Well, I mean, I'm an investigative reporter. I took on some very big stories before on Fit for Command and football story. I think by being public is the best defense I can have, and I'm taking reasonably prudent steps, but probably right now if I fell down the stairs, people would suspect it was the White House, and that's probably the best way I could be safe.
Absolutely. Finishing up, as you got cut off by the break, what's the time frame on the criminal charges?
Criminal charges are going to be filed. I talked to the expert preparing the charges today. They're going to be filed. He was going to call the FBI. I've got one call to make to a top former FBI official to let them know it's coming. And then the charges will actually be mailed into the FBI probably tomorrow. And I'll write about it and publish it in WorldNet Daily Thursday, Friday, or Monday, depending. I've had as many as 10, 15 radio shows a day, so it's been a very, very busy schedule. And, Alex, I'm giving you material no one else is getting.
Well, we appreciate that, Dr. Corsi. In closing, clearly, if the Bush administration, now confirming the Kenyan government was looking into this, they know something's going on, and the Kenyan government said, looks like something's going on here, stuff's been covered up. You've got another document confirming that from the Kenyan government, from their State Department. This is so big. What about the blackmail issue? Isn't it a national security issue to bring this out so that Obama can't be blackmailed anymore? I mean, undoubtedly he's being blackmailed.
Well, I think the problem with any president who doesn't tell the truth is the blackmail potential is there. I was in Israel doing Why Israel Can't Wait. I met with two former heads of the Mossad. Mossad investigated Obama's background as well. Every intelligence agency, I believe, in the world has investigated Obama's background. I think they found what I found. He wasn't born in Hawaii. He's likely, I think, 100% now born in Kenya. Kenyan government even confirms that the birth records in 61 were criminally altered in order to hide the evidence of Obama's birth. What more do you need?
Are you hinting at former heads?
They can't find the actual birth certificate in Kenya because it's been destroyed. That's what the Kenyan government is telling Ambassador Ranenberger.
Incredible. Directly for George Bush. In closing, are you hinting that the Israeli intelligence former heads told you in Israel that they're suspicious?
Let's just not answer that question. That's really a little bit too much, but I have a thorough discussion with a couple of former heads of Assad about this issue. And let me say that every intelligence agency in the world Americans have just got to realize that. I think they found what I found.
Well, imagine what those governments can do with this information. Dr. Corsi, I'll say bye to you during the break. Appreciate you giving us an hour. I know you're giving other shows 10, 15 minutes. And he's sending us really another huge smoking gun, the unpublished WorldNet Daily article that they decided to not go with so they could smoke Obama out of his rat's nest by committing himself to this document. We'll cover more of this at InfoWars.com and WMD.com. Stay with us.